Hi there, this is Loria Chews of Four Leg Rehab Incorporated, your place for online canine rehab education. So, it's been a while since I've done an audio, and I thought, in case there are some of you that like to download these to your iPods and listen to them as you're driving to work or at the gym, I'd give you something to listen to. So this audio is about my ideas on the underwater treadmill and progressing and starting dogs on the underwater treadmill. And I know that this is, or can be, somewhat of a controversial subject. And I just wanted to weigh in and give you my two cents on what I think about it. So where we're going to start is essentially, when do you start an animal onto the underwater treadmill? And I would say, if you're talking about a post-operative case, certainly you want that incision to be healed, so that you're not introducing any infection or risk of infection. There shouldn't be any chance of that. So I like to make sure the incision is healed and there's no open, oozy, draining wounds either. In the case of a neurologic dog, I would say so long as that animal is stable. So in that an increase in blood pressure and heart rate won't be detrimental. So as long as the case is a stable neuro case, you certainly can utilize the underwater treadmill. And certainly with any obesity or geriatric case, fair game, and same with fitness and conditioning. Now, how long are you going to put the animal in the underwater treadmill when you're just starting out? And this is where I hear some really divergently different recommendations. So the question I always ask is, how long are they going on land? If the animal is walking for 5 to 10 minutes, so, you know, he's out, even if it's just in the backyard to go do his potty routine, if that takes 5 to 10 minutes, then you know what? He can do 5 to 10 minutes in the underwater treadmill. It is ridiculous that if an animal is, you know, otherwise moving around point A to point B, that they're only going to do 2 minutes in the underwater treadmill. The underwater treadmill is not harder than working on land unless you have the animal going at a pace, at a speed in which case the water becomes resistant to the movement and is more difficult to move through. So that's why some of your athletes would do water running and those sorts of things. That makes sense. We can put in our fit, healthy, agility and obedience dogs in there and they can chug away at the maximum speed. That is a harder workout than land. However, if you are just having an animal walking calmly, slowly, easily, then it's not harder than land, okay? Because you're having a buoyancy factor, so that weight bearing is actually reduced and the is therefore minimized. So it's not necessarily harder than land if all you're doing is walking at a light, comfortable speed, and even perhaps, you know, slower than what the animal would be going on land. That is not a detrimental workload for any of your post-operative cases. So the rule of thumb that we utilize at the Canine Fitness Center, at the clinic in Calgary here, would be we're going to aim for about 10 minutes. That's what we're going to aim for. Now, it's okay if the animal is a little deconditioned to give them a couple of rest spaces. So, you know, if they go for 3 minutes and they take a 1 minute rest just standing there, maybe they go for another 3 minutes and we got a 1 minute rest, and then they go for the next 3 minutes and then they have a 1 minute cool down, whatever. That's useful. Okay. They're going to be using the leg, and not detrimental. Really, it's the pace, so the speed that the animal is going, that can have more effect than time in regards to whether this is an assistance device, assisting weight bearing so that they can get doing it in a safe environment, or whether it is a workout that is increasing the energy expenditure. So if you're going faster in water, you're increasing energy expenditure. If you are standing or walking slowly in water, then you are reducing your energy expenditure because it's easier than being on land. And I think that is a concept that is often not discussed or unrealized out there in the animal rehab underwater treadmill world. Okay, for neurologic dogs, I think we need to realize that even just standing in the water can definitely have a benefit. So it doesn't have to be movement, 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 but just standing could be useful. Pardon me. As well, sometimes when we've gotten these neurologic dogs that, you know, they're down, they cannot weight bear. If we get them in the underwater treadmill, put a float vest on them, someone's in there helping them stand, we can sometimes see that small movement that is otherwise undetectable on land. So if it was a human, I can say, okay, I want you to try and straighten your knee, or, you know, contract your quads. I want to see if you got any kind of movement in there at all. So we would be able to pick up just muscle flickers in that capacity. Or in the human world, we would grade muscle strength, you know, grades 1 through 5. Grade 3 is you can do an activity. Let's talk about knee extension. Sitting in a chair, you extend your knee. That is a grade 3. The fact you can do it is grade 3. You have muscle power against gravity. Weight of your own limb against gravity. That's grade 3, muscle strength. Grade 2 would be you can take gravity out of the equation. So let's say in side lying, and that's where you can use, you know, in the old physio gyms, you had this big wire cage that you could hang slings and pulleys from and have a human on their side and sling the leg up off the ground ever so slightly, or up off the other leg ever so slightly, and say, okay, now try and straighten your knee. And now gravity's taken out of the equation, right? So a person might be able to do that. And then grade 1 would simply be looking for a bit of a muscle flicker. And then if we go the other direction, grade 4 and grade 5 is against minimum resistance and then against maximum resistance. So essentially, some of these really weak or deconditioned neurologic animals, sometimes we can see them in the underwater treadmill trying to initiate movement that you would otherwise not be able to see on land. So really, that can be quite useful in that capacity. So a little bit diagnostic to see what their functional capabilities are, and then also as a therapy tool. So certainly, get your neurologic dogs in there. And you see whether it's of benefit. If they're just kind of floating and you're kind of just dragging them around, it might not be much of an exercise, but you can be using that periodically as a diagnostic indicator. Okay, now, how often are you going to prescribe your underwater treadmill? And essentially, the more the better. You know that with your own exercising. Really, you should be exercising every day, or at least 6 days a week with one day off, or it could even be one day of what they say is active rest, in which case, you know, doesn't mean you have to sit and be a couch potato in front of the TV. It means you can garden or go for a walk. But as far as working out, 6 days a week really is ideal. But realistically, money and time are going to dictate whether a person is bringing their dog, and rather how often a person can bring their dog to the underwater treadmill. And money and time is a big factor. So what I always tell my clients is, okay, once to twice a week is going to be great, you know, and really the minimum for your rehab benefits. You know, once a week is your minimum for benefits for rehab to get the animal in there. Certainly, it is not the only thing they're doing. It has to be in as an adjunct to a home exercise program. But once a week, I would say, is pretty good. Twice a week is a whole lot better. And there's not a lot of times I think that money or time will dictate a person being able to bring their dog in 3 times a week. But you never know. Now, we can also look at it, and that's for achieving benefits in rehab, so your post-operative cases, your neuro cases, etc., etc. If you are cross-training for athletes, and I think that's what we have to think of the underwater treadmill as being for those guys, is a cross-training tool. Okay, so then once a week would be okay. Less than that, then you're really not seeing any, I doubt you're seeing any much benefit from incorporating or adding that to your program. But once a week would be great as a cross-training tool. Obviously, they need to be doing other things as well. Okay, and then if we talk about your obese patients, I would try and get them in at least twice a week if you can as well. Or if that's just not feasible, try for at least once a week, because that's really actually going to help you get them in so you can weigh them, you can congratulate the owners, provide motivation. That is as important for the obese patient, rather their client, the owner, as important as the actual underwater treadmill. And again, they have to have a home program too. Once a week, if that's all you're doing, is not enough for any fitness gains. Okay. Now, how high should you have the water? And I would say when you're first beginning and you're wanting this to be a buoyancy factor so that they're able to exercise in a safe environment, then I would say you're going to look at starting with the water a little bit higher. So maybe high thigh or hip height. So in around that range. So you've got, you're using the buoyancy factor of the water. As the animal progresses, you can start lowering the water bit by bit, so mid to low thigh. And we tend to stick around that and not really go any lower. Now, if you are wanting to increase flexion of joints, if you're wanting the animal to step proud, step high, then you're going to fill the water to about the joint height. So the joint you want to step high, so elbow level, if you want the joint elbow joint to flex more than it normally would in water. Stifle height, if you want the knee to flex more, you know, than it normally would in water, then you can fill it to about the joint height for that purpose. So if you may have a case that you want to exercise specifically in that manner. Alrighty. And how are you going to progress? So I would say really you should think about progressing an animal each time it comes in. Each time, and this is therapeutic exercise or underwater treadmill, each time, you know, unless the dog has had a setback, anything has happened to the dog that's just like, okay, we can't progress, maybe we have to reduce or stay where we were. And the other one too is to look at soreness of the animal. If the animal was sore for days, plural days, after the last session, then you may not necessarily increase a component in with that one. Now, really, if you are exercising, you should, and you're exercising hard enough to make a change in your fitness level, you should expect to have some soreness for a day or two afterwards. That would be normal for making gains in muscle strength and fitness. Okay? But if it carries on for days, more than two, I would say, well, more than one, you really gotta have to look at the big picture there. So somewhere between one, more than one day, you know, definitely more than 2 days, you should be thinking, okay, we pushed a little too hard here. Okay? And in which case then you're not going to progress and you may reduce. And what you're going to progress, one component or a portion of components each time. So you can increase speed that the animal is going at or the duration that the animal spends at the higher speed. So let's say your top speed is 2.5 and miles per hour. And the last time the dog was in the treadmill, he did 2 minutes at 2.5 miles per hour. Then maybe here comes the next session. It's like, let's see if we can get 2.5 or 3 minutes at that 2.5 miles per hour. And then, you know, we start weaning down after that. So you can increase the duration at the higher speed. You can increase the overall speed that the animal is going at. And you can also then increase the time. So what we usually tell people and plan for is to increase by a minute each time the animal comes in. Okay, so long as everything is fine, the animal is healthy, there were no setbacks. That's what we're going to aim for. Okay, and if you have an older or an unfit dog, they may need slower progressions because geriatric dogs don't accommodate quite as quickly as a younger individual. They may need maybe two sessions that are identical, and then you can progress them a little bit. But I would challenge that we can likely be progressing animals faster than you think, faster than you have been doing. And really, it's going to make a difference if you're starting them for more than 2 minutes at a session. You'll realize that you really can be pushing them a little bit more than that. Okay. Now, when are you going to discharge from the underwater treadmill? Because ideally, in a rehab situation, you should have a goal to discharge them for rehab purposes. If they want to keep coming for fitness and conditioning, that's fine. But for rehab, you're rehabbing them from a post-op cruciate or hip surgery or whatever, they should eventually graduate. The underwater treadmill will become too easy at some point in time, and you have to challenge them. So my rule of thumb for that is that if the animal is already doing somewhere between 25-30 minutes on the underwater treadmill, it's likely time to progress them to something harder. Or if in the post-op case they've been doing underwater treadmill for 6 to 8 weeks, it is likely time to progress them. Okay, in a regular post-op case. Neurologic cases, really, that's hit and miss. You don't know. It depends on how fast that animal is recuperating. Okay, but if the animal has been doing underwater treadmill, you're kind of seeing stagnation in the gains. So if you're doing your objective outcome measures, thigh circumference isn't changing, weight bearing isn't changing, how the animal holds the leg when he's walking, maybe he's got that icky external rotation look to the leg. Okay, you need to kick it up a notch. Get on with it. Take the dog to boot camp. Okay, so the boot camp I call therapist-led land-based exercises. So this could be incorporating some of the power training ideas or the high-intensity interval training, coordination training, agility training, balance training, and muscular endurance training. Okay, so I want to just touch on that one for half a second. Remember back to high school, I'm sure everybody had to do this, and you had to do wall squats, right, or wall sits, where you'd back up to the wall and you had to bend your knees and you had to squat or sit there against the wall for minutes on end. Remember, about 2 to 3 minutes, your thighs would start to burn. 4 minutes, you're like, oh my gosh, please, 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 I hope he's going to tell us we're done. And then if you could go longer than that, then it's just a battle of wills between you and whoever else is left, squatting at the wall. Oh, and it burns, burns, burns. That's muscular endurance, how long a muscle can hold a contraction. Okay, so now what I want to challenge you is to realize that your underwater treadmill only targets certain types of fitness, certain types of cardiovascular fitness, and only a certain capacity of your muscular fitness. You have to get to the next stage of making things a challenge. Okay, for muscles to grow, they need to be challenged. For muscles to increase in strength, they need to be challenged. If you're doing the same old thing every time and you're not adding a new component, you're not challenging enough. Okay, so they need to graduate from underwater treadmill. You need to take them to boot camp. And with either underwater treadmill or boot camp, it has to be in conjunction with a home program. Whew, alrighty. Then, and as well as we talk about your obesity or your geriatrics, you're gradually going to add, what I would do is gradually add a component of boot camp. Okay, so we call it the neuromuscular rehab. Where we're doing the exercises in the back. So if you go to the video that shows my back exercise area, you can see a bunch of the different equipment that I've got for doing things with the dogs in the exercise area. And so for the obesity patients or the geriatrics, I like to alternate. So one week it's underwater treadmill, the next week it might be boot camp. Or if they're coming twice a week, one of those is underwater treadmill and the other one is boot camp. And that way we're really increasing the challenge for the muscles, different way of working the body, different way of working the cardiovascular system, and working on more than what the underwater treadmill does. Okay, so I would challenge you to say, I bet you can be progressing your underwater treadmill a little faster than what you're doing. You can likely start a little bit faster than, or rather longer than what you might be doing already. And I would say you are safe to do so. Again, you're looking at a difference between speed compared to time. So take all this into account and see if you can make some positive changes with your underwater treadmill programming. I would love to hear your comments and your feedback, or if you're doing anything really interesting with your underwater treadmill or even boot camp type exercises, that would be cool as well. So give me a shout and love to hear from you. Until next time, cheers!